Welcome to Sports and a Slice of Life. And now, here's your host, Dave Lewis.
Happy New Year. I've missed you. It's been way too long. It has. I'm back, ready to go, though. And like everyone else, fired up to turn the page on 2020. New year, new hope, new conversations for you as well. Starting 2021 with one of my favorites, Bill Herenda, NBA insider and an actor in Los Angeles as well. Got two things to talk about, the business and basketball. Always a rush to talk to NBA insider Bill Herenda. Happy New Year.
Dave, Happy New Year to you and your audience. It's great to be back.
Hey, I wanted to ask you before we get to the NBA, I saw Boston U played Holy Cross last night and the Terriers played with masks on. What do you think?
Interesting. Wow. Well, you know what? Hey, listen, player safety is paramount, and safety for coaches and everyone around these college and NBA programs. Wow, that's definitely different. I had not heard of any other team doing that. Kudos to the Terriers.
I mean, I could barely do a podcast or walk my dog with a mask on. I can't imagine playing, you know, a basketball game. So, once again, props to Boston U. Hey, I want to get right to the NBA, and this is the first time I've talked to anybody on microphone since Steph Curry went off for his 62 points. And there were some naysayers on Twitter, mostly the haters on social media saying, hey, he's no good without a Kevin Durant. Maybe he's getting older. He can't play anymore. And then he blows up for that kind of game. Do you think someone like him is motivated by social media and naysayers on the Twitterverse?
Sure. I think he even admitted that postgame, Dave, to a degree. And we're all human, and living in the fishbowl of public life in this era, you know, as much as you try to ignore the noise, which is wise, and I think Steph is terrific and the Warriors in general at doing that, we're all human. So to me, it's never a question of if with Steph Curry. It's just a question of when. And I do think that, you know, all of a sudden you see Draymond Green back in the lineup. And what did he have? 8 assists against Portland. What did they have last night? 40 as a team against Sacramento. So his leadership, and like Einstein said, not everything that counts can be counted. And I think that really is representative of Draymond Green's game. And with Steph, you just run out of superlatives. Just an incredible performance. And he followed it up right with 30 last night against Sacramento.
Yeah, the 92 in the two games is only the third most in his career over a two-game stretch. That's how good he's been for so long.
That's an amazing stat when you think about it. And you know, when you take a step back, Dave, and you look at it, you know, he's going to be 33 in March. And I had, it's kind of funny, back in the day, a buddy of mine asked, I tweeted this yesterday, a buddy of mine asked me, Bill, what do I say to people so it sounds like I know a lot about basketball? And I told him, I said, just say, Del Curry can really shoot it. And little did I know that his scion, Steph, would be arguably the best shooter ever. And Seth's not a bad shooter either.
He was asked on the post-game show, with all the attention that he gets, does he embrace the idea of facing 2 and 3 players?
Not really. But it's as long as I can make the right decision and, yeah. You know, see the pictures. That's all it is. I mean, different shots from years past. And a lot of that is just not rushing. Even though there might be double teams and a crowd, I always have options to, you know, move it or get a shot or get to the basket. I just got to make sure I see everything right. And I think tonight we just slowed down a little bit, and it obviously worked out.
All right. How aware are you of the point total that you had? I mean, you know, 54 was the career high coming in. When you get to that 40 spot and things like that, are you even aware of the numbers as they're piling up?
Of course. But you try to just continue to stay humble and stay in the moment. That's the best way to approach it. It doesn't help when your teammates are yelling at you every dead ball, how many points you got. But other than that, it's just don't do anything differently. Just keep being aggressive, being decisive, and, you know, good things happen.
That's Curry with Clint Azabuki and Bob Fitzgerald at NBC Sports Bay Area. Magnificent performance with the 62. I was asking about the social media, Bill, because the Sacramento Kings have had some negative tweets lately with Marvin Bagley's father suggesting his son gets traded. and the team has been asked, has that impacted their play?
Right. I think within a locker room, professionals are able to kind of, you know, insulate themselves from that noise. Now, it may be somewhat contradictory in my answer on Steph, but here, you know, you have to take the high road. And, of course, Sacramento was off to a good start. They have struggled of late. And coincidentally, it's, you know, after these or during the milieu of these tweets. So I think it's unfortunate because, you know, it kind of takes away from their play on the floor that has been solid. And even though there's Monty McNair, new leadership in Sacramento, you kind of get that feeling like, uh-oh, are we going, you know, are we regressing? But I think this will blow over just myself personally. They've got to rise above it and realize that, you know, it's got to be about winning and not about the scuttlebutt or the family innuendo or what have you. Now, it's unfortunate. You know, you talk to a lot of people and they don't think that players have really changed that much, but perhaps the people around them. And this, I think, is a reflection of that.
Oh, you can certainly talk about that with your experience in the Positive Coaching Alliance. I'd say the last 10 or 15 years, maybe the players are a little bit different, but the parents and the folks around them are really different.
Right. And you know, you've got to be in a supportive role. You've got to understand your role, stay in your lane, be supportive, not only of your individual family member or what have you, but also collectively of the organization. And you certainly don't want to air any dirty laundry publicly because that just doesn't help anybody. And, you know, the other thing that's really paramount here is that frequently, you know, guys in the NBA are ultra talented and they're also hard workers for the most part, right? And it's very rare that they have someone telling them no. Typically they're hearing yes, yes, yes. And it's a challenge for coaches. The more I talk to people, you know, in the league, that coaches have to be confrontational when necessary and do it in a productive way for individual and then collective success. So they've got to be able, coaches, to separate this noise and help players understand that while there are going to be a lot of people in their ear, you as a coach and your staff have the ability to elevate this player's game at this stop in their career, and hopefully it'll be for the duration of their career in this city, but you can help them achieve a long-term career with the improvement they can enjoy here. So you've got to be able to articulate that and get players to buy into it so that the noise they hear, a 50 by 94 feet for a couple hours a day and at night, is the most important and enduring and lasting noise that's going to help them in their careers, and not the people that are, you know, who love them, who are closest to them, but may not be able to separate the big picture from short-term personal goals.
Kings point guard De'Aaron Fox was asked about that subject.
Luke said tonight wasn't about it on the outside affecting you guys. It was just bad basketball. One, would you agree to that with that? And secondly, what do you guys do internally to get yourselves back to where you were basically for 5.5 games?
Well, I mean, I don't think anybody's out there playing basketball worried about two tweets. And if you are, this ain't what you should be doing, because he's going to tweet you every day of your life while you're playing in this league. So if that's what you're worried about, then I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, pretty much crystallizing what you said moments ago, Bill. Got to put out the noise.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Got to turn the page, Dave. As you know, it's always about the next play. And hopefully for the Kings and their fans who, you know, that fan base really deserves an entertaining product and a playoff team. You just hope that, and I'm sure that they'll rise above it and get back on track. And listen, I'm not saying they're going to make the playoffs, but I don't think this, you know, bump in the road is going to deter them.
Getting caught up with NBA insider Bill Herenda. And through the first couple weeks of the season, who are your biggest surprises and maybe disappointments so far?
Well, certainly, you know, Dave, I didn't think we'd be talking about the New York Knicks and the Cleveland Cavaliers at this juncture of the season. You have to use the caveat it's early, but both of those squads at 4-3 certainly surprises to me. And then on the other end, you know, you'd probably have to look at Toronto at 1-5, and also Denver at 2-4 as surprises on the negative part of the slate. But again, it's very early. This is a marathon, even though it's 72 games, not 82, not a sprint.
I'm a little biased. What do you think about Atlanta? They made a couple of nice moves in the offseason. They're not in full rebuild mode. This should be a year they make the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, this is a great opportunity for Lloyd Pierce and his staff, Dave. I know you have ties there to really demonstrate how good a coach he is. And I know he's a good coach, as you do. And listen, you know, they had the great win in Brooklyn on Friday night and, you know, an excellent start. But then, you know, you struggle at home against Cleveland in the second of a back-to-back, and then you lose to the upstart Knicks on Monday. So, again, I really like the pieces that they have around Trae Young. You know, even guys like Solomon Hill, of course, Capella, you hope that he's healthy. You hope Gallinari gets healthy. But there are, you know, there's a lot of young talent there, but a good mix of veterans as well. And you've got Rondo, who hopefully will, you know, contribute not only on the floor, but also the way he can in a cerebral nature, almost an extension of the coaching staff. So even though they've struggled lately at 4-3, I'm still optimistic on the Hawks this season.
Yeah, Rondo might be similar to that role that Vince Carter played for them. Obviously a little bit younger, but that sage in the locker room.
Right. And listen, Rondo's a magnificent basketball mind in addition to talent. I can remember radio hosts looking at me askew when I was bullish on the signing of Rondo in Sacramento. And he certainly has resurrected his career. But yeah, I think that'll be a terrific addition, particularly for, you know, the younger players on that roster and all of them, really, just to learn what it takes to be a professional. His recall of scouting reports, game plan, KYP, know your personnel, is really second to none. And that can only help Atlanta in the short term and in the long term, too.
Brooklyn is 3-4. Spencer Dinwiddie out with the torn ACL. Kevin Durant will miss four games because he was exposed to someone with COVID. What's your take on the Nets right now?
Well, ultra talented, but can they retain their focus and their concentration? And Kyrie Irving, as we know, if he stays healthy, you know, he and Durant, again, Irving, arguably the best finisher in the league. Durant, arguably the best player in the league. And he's looked terrific, Dave, as you know, coming off the Achilles injury. But again, it's just the inconsistency. You know, they lose at Charlotte by two without Durant and Irving in the lineup. Then they lose to Memphis in overtime. Atlanta pops them at home. The Wizards win on Sunday in Brooklyn. So listen, what it says to me, and there have been a lot of examples of this in the league thus far, is this, and I think Brooklyn kind of exemplifies this in many ways. This game will keep you humble. If you don't come ready to play every night respecting your opponent, you're going to get exposed and you're going to get embarrassed. And again, under Steve Nash, a new head coach, ultra talent. I do still like the depth with LeVert, Jared Allen, Ed Al, despite the injury to Dinwiddie. Even Chris Chioza, a name that you don't hear very much, could be pivotal here for Brooklyn this season. I think they'll still be okay, but how good they'll do and how deep they'll go in the playoffs really depends upon their, I call it ACBC, accountability, chemistry, balance, and consistency.
What are your thoughts on the first-year players? Obviously, in the Bay Area, we're very familiar with Wiseman and his tremendous upside with Golden State.
Yeah, Wiseman, Dave, really has a lot of talent and a lot of skills. I'm definitely, you know, optimistic about his development. You know, Pritchard last night put up big numbers for Boston. Quickly was terrific down the stretch for the Knicks last night, leading all fourth quarter scorers with 10 points, five clutch free throws in that game. You know, Halliburton with Sacramento has been really terrific for them. Now he's injured, but I've really liked what I've seen there with him. And it's kind of interesting because, you know, Edwards, you know, is averaging 14 points. Ball has been up and down a little bit, but has looked good in spurts. You know, he's averaging 12 points, five rebounds, five assists per night with Charlotte. So, yeah, there's definitely some interesting talent. And, you know, like I said, Pritchard and Quickly guys that you don't think you'd be talking about 2 weeks into the season, but they've made contributions.
Bill Herenda, also an actor in Los Angeles, best known for his scene-stealing performance last year in an episode of SWAT with Shamar Moore. I'm rereading that book that you recommended from Jenna Fisher, The Actor's Survival Guide. Anything in there from a life lesson standpoint that you can use in acting or really any walk of life?
Well, Dave, you know what? You're no one can accuse you of not using hyperbole in your description of my work with Shamar Moore on SWAT. So that was terrific. But I think that, you know, I think maybe the lesson is, you know, if you're good, which she talks about in the book, you know, if you're good, and if you're good to really keep going. And paraphrasing her, you know, there's just no place for this woe is me. And I know these are really tough times. I don't mean to minimize that at all. But it's certainly, I think, another good message that's particularly relevant now. And lastly, I guess I would say, you know, an opportunity can change things, but it doesn't change things forever. So you certainly need to focus on continual improvement. So again, Dave, I'm a little, you're guilty of hyperbole. I'm guilty of being loquacious. You asked me for one, I gave you three.
To me, the scene that was most memorable, you with Shamar side by side comparing abs. Hey, you're just scratching the surface and you're on your way to huge things in life. I really appreciate the time.
Well, thanks very much, Dave. That scene, I think, rightfully so, hit the cutting room floor. And listen, it's always great breaking it down with you, and keep up your terrific work. And I'm sure we'll compare notes as the NBA season evolves, and as I know you're an actor as well, as the Hollywood scenario picks up again, as the pandemic hopefully gets behind us.
Happy New Year, and kiss your wife for me.
We'll do, Dave. Right back at you and your family. Thanks so much.
Thanks to actor and NBA insider Bill Herenda. Our executive producer is Hunter Lewis. You can subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, YouTube, and iHeartRadio. We really appreciate your positive comments and feedback. It helps a lot, big time. Thank you in advance. And thank you for listening. We'll talk to you next time.